People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down with life, if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. And this is from the Occidental... excuse me. And you should actually read this if you possibly can. It's from the Occidental Descent. It's online. And it reads as follows, and this is from, I believe it's from Sunday. It says here, could this day get any better? Charlie Kirk booed off the stage. Vox surges in the Spanish election, and Vox is a populist conservative party that came in third, surged from just a couple of seats to, I think, about 60 in the Spanish elections. Tens of thousands of based Poles march in Poland. Now, I saw a video of that, and it was absolutely stirring and moving. This was their... November the 11th was their National Independence Day, and the surge of patriotic Poles is just fantastic. Now, this received virtually no coverage that I know of in the North American media. Not surprising. Now, the best news of all, Noel Ignatieff is dead. And this is from the Los Angeles, obits from the National Los Angeles Times. Noel Ignatieff, a former steelworker who became a historian, known for his work on race and class and his call to abolish whiteness. Yeah, that's like abolish the white race, right? Died at Banner University Medical Center in Tucson on Saturday. He was 78. The cause was an intestinal infarction, according to Kingsley Clark, a longtime friend. Ignatieff's best-known book, How the Irish Became White, was immediately influential and controversial upon its publication in 1995. It touched off a firestorm of debate at the time, at academic conferences and in the pages of newspapers. In time, his view that whiteness is a social and political construction and not a phenomenon with a biological basis has become mainstream. Now, listen to that nonsense. his view that whiteness is a social and political construction and not a phenomenon with a biological basis has become mainstream. So, you see, this actually robs you of your identity. You're not really white. You're only white if you think you are. And if you think you are, well, to some degree, you're mentally ill, and you should be cured of that. Talk about it in the very real sense, absolute race hatred, or a hatred of our race. And calling for the abolition of whiteness, of course, means calling for our demise. Did I need to mention that Noel Ignatieff was a Jew? In fact, there's a picture of him here in old age, and that's a very obvious, very obvious honker on him. Okay. The resurgence of white identity politics and white nationalism in recent years made Ignatieff's arguments relevant to a new generation of readers who argue the notion that race is more about power and privilege rather than about ancestry or even identity. Race is more about power and privilege. Well, how would you account for an Oprah Winfrey? I believe that woman, that fat woman, is a billionaire, has a great deal of power. I believe she has a publishing arm. She's, of course, a media personality, has her own show, and rakes in large numbers of bucks. So race is more about power and privilege. Does that make her white? Ignatieff urged white people, be reverse Oreos. Defy the rules of whiteness, flagrantly, publicly. When somebody makes a racial slur in your presence, say, you probably think I'm white because I look white. Challenge behaviors that reproduce race distinctions. An Oreo is, of course, a person who is black on the outside but white, or has internalized many white values. Will be a reverse Oreo, which means you look white but you really have black values. The interviewer continued, you do this in a bar full of rednecks? Ignatieff replied, that depends a lot on the situation. Challenging people on their whiteness can lead to harsh confrontations, even blows. Let's see here. We somehow lost the text. Sometimes that can't be helped. But since we don't accept labeling people, I'd ask you, what's a redneck? If you're not familiar with Noel Ignatieff, and this is no longer the Los Angeles Times, he's the Jew who starred the Abolish Whiteness stuff, which has been all the rage with the woke crowd. This is a quotation from Ignatieff from Harvard Magazine, 2002. The goal of abolishing the white race is on its face so desirable that some may find it hard to believe that it could incur any opposition other than from committed white supremacists. You mean white people who want to survive. Make no mistake about it. We intend to keep bashing the dead white males and the live ones, and the females too, until the social construct known as the white race is destroyed. Another quotation from Ignatieff. The key to solving the social problems of our age is to abolish the white race. Until the task is accomplished, even partial reform will prove elusive, because white influence permeates every issue in U.S. society, whether foreign or domestic. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. So my very existence oppresses somebody. Well, maybe nobody would be oppressed if they weren't in my country. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity. The goal of abolishing the white race is on its face so desirable that some may find it hard to believe that it could incur any opposition other than from committed white supremacists. The task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself. If you are a white male, you don't deserve to live. And so on. There are many comments to this, and I don't think I will read them because some of them are pretty pretty pointed. Okay. So Noel Ignatieff is dead. Probably not nice to say that about the dead, but you want to, in a sense, feel, say, good riddance. What is really amazing to me in all this is that this man hasn't had any influence. If these were just the ramblings of some lunatic in a bar, you might say, well, okay, the guy believes the earth is flat or something like that. But this man is a professor who had considerable influence. Now, yesterday I dealt with a story, and I'm going to do a bit of a follow-up on that, on the story. And that was the firing of Don Cherry. Now, Don Cherry was a Canadian, or is a Canadian icon. He's 85 years old. For 37 years, he has hosted what's called a Coach's Corner on Hockey Night in Canada, which is also a Canadian icon, and that's Saturday Night Hockey. And John Cherry was a former minor league player, former coach, and hence the Coach's Corner, and is well known for his zany and outrageous jackets and ties. He is first and foremost an entertainer, and he was a gruff, opinionated guy who didn't like what he felt was the sissification of the sport of hockey. He had nothing against fighting, and from time to time he would pronounce certain political opinions. Well, he got into big trouble because of an opinion he offered on Saturday night. And that opinion had to do with the poppy. Now, the poppy, of course, is the symbol of by which we honor the dead in all our world wars, and it's sold prior to the 11th of November, which is our Remembrance Day. In fact, it's Remembrance Day for right across across the Anglosphere. It's Veterans Day in the United States, and so on. Well. Anyway, Don Cherry had been told by a friend in Mississauga, which is the suburb west of Toronto, where elite Don Cherry lived, that the man was having a lot of trouble this year selling the poppy. That in fact, a lot of people didn't want to buy it. So, Don Cherry said, it's bad in Mississauga, and you hardly see anybody wearing the poppy. Now, Mississauga is actually over 50% non-white. I know, I ran there for mayor. And the city of Toronto is also over 50% non-white, and he said, you hardly see any at all in Toronto. And then he went on to say, you people, have to show, my words not his, but he did say, you people have to show more respect. And then he said, you come to this country, you enjoy our milk and honey, you enjoy our freedoms, you've got to be prepared to part with a few bucks and buy a poppy to show respect to our traditions, to the men who fought and died to secure and preserve the very life's standard and lifestyle that drew you to our shores. Well, all hell broke loose. Absolutely all hell. You know, anti-immigrant, how could he dare say you people? It was actually, and I'm a linguist, so I read it, I've heard it too, repeated on the airways numerous times. It was a segue, perhaps not the smoothest, from this observation about the lack of respect for the poppy, and an exhortation to you guys, meaning you people rather, meaning everybody, and then focusing, and he did not perhaps establish this with a couple more clauses, but his observation, and mine too, would be that many newcomers know nothing about this tradition and do not participate. That doesn't mean none do. Yes, some do. Anyway, without that transition, it was made to sound as addressing only immigrants. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with addressing immigrants. Say, hey, that you people should be down on your knees with gratitude for being able to be here. I mean, you're here by choice. You know, we didn't go and kidnap you. And you should show respect. Now, instead of that, and of course you have to understand that Don Cherry's persona is that of a gruff working man, very strongly opinionated. That's what he's paid for. That's why he has become an icon, why he's immensely popular. More people, or at least many people, watch Hockey Night in Canada just to see what John Cherry is going to say this week, as much as to see who's going to win the game. Now, anyway, within 36 hours, he was gone. Yesterday, he was fired, or yesterday, Monday the 11th, he was fired by Rogers Sportsnet, which owns the program. They denounced him. The ungrateful scumbag leadership of the Royal Canadian Legion. Oh, I should say, Don Cherry was a passionate supporter of our veterans, particularly the wounded veterans. And so this was an issue that was very close to him. And he felt that, you know, people were letting veterans down by not more vigorously supporting buying the pop, wearing and buying the poppy. Anyway, so the Legion said that it did not represent the values of the Legion, which are for inclusiveness. The National Hockey League, which had benefited hugely from Don Cherry's popularity, threw him under the bus. That his popularity drew people to to watching Hockey Night in Canada, helped secure a big audience in a time when the television television audience is very much divided. When I was growing up, and I hate to make it sound like, when I was a boy, we could perhaps get 6 channels in Toronto, 2 Canadian, and 4 from across the border in Buffalo, New York. So a choice of programming at any given time was fairly limited. Well, then along came cable, and now with the package I have, I can literally get several hundred channels. So the point being that it is more difficult today than it was 40 years ago to have a large national following. Well, Hockey Night in Canada does. It has well over a million viewers every Saturday night. And that's pretty big stuff. Much of that is due to Don Cherry. You would think that the NHL, your parents probably told you growing up, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Now, I don't think this should in general be an excuse for, you know, keeping silent all the time. But, okay, why did they have to offer an opinion? Well, they did. Well, Don Cherry's views were bigoted and do not reflect the diversity. The NHL's core principles are diversity and inclusiveness. And when you hear those words, you're looking at trouble. First of all, you're looking at lies and hypocrisy. The values of the NHL are diversity and inclusion. You think so? Well, one of the main values of the NHL as a league is, let's think here, to make money. That's right. The team owners are not in the business of losing money. They're in the business of making money. Now, there may be other values as well. The appreciation of an enjoyment of hockey, yeah. But let's face it, one of the main values is making money. Diversity and inclusion? Well, I'm sure they'd like to see more Negro players and maybe even one wearing a turban if possible. But
that on that level, those values are fairly far down the line. And what do the words diversity and inclusion mean? Well, inclusion would seem to me we're all together in this, right? We don't exclude people, except maybe people can't play hockey very well. And diversity, well, that would seem to mean many different types of something or other. Okay, well, what about diversity of opinion? Don Cherry has an opinion. Many people like him and follow him. Some people don't like him. Okay, fair enough. But they're applauding his exclusion. Well, there's been a tremendous pushback, not from official people. Many public officials have applauded his demise. And there's almost a party line, and the party line has developed like this. Don Cherry is a dinosaur. Time moved on, society moved on, and views that were at one point tolerated are no longer tolerated. Yeah, let's see, but we're for inclusion, right? And diversity? Don't kid yourself. Not diversity of opinion. Well, there a petition that I believe yesterday when I did the show had, I think, about 20,000 signatures. Had 50,000 by this morning, and by sometime early this evening had 120,000. It's an online petition, and it's going, as they say, viral. Here's what Andrew Lawton said. He's a commentator. Don Cherry's critics are saying that the longtime hockey icon's firing had nothing to do with free speech. No, it never does it? It was just a company doing what it has a right to do. There's no denying Sportsnet had the right to get rid of Cherry. Though that doesn't mean it's still not a free speech issue. It very much is, of course. True North's Andrew Lawton explains how important it is to stand up to censorship. Why did we lose this here? Culturally, not just free speech against state censorship. And there's a petition here. And I think this, if anybody would like to sign it, and if you can't find it by Googling it, just email me, paul@paulfromm.com. And here's what Andrew Lawton says.
Never mind what Don Cherry's critics are saying. There's no denying it. His firing by Sportsnet is, in fact, a free speech issue. Sportsnet, the sports network owned by Rogers, announced on Remembrance Day that Don Cherry would immediately step down. This is what the network said in a statement. Sports brings people together. It unites us, not divides us. Following further discussions with Don Cherry after Saturday night's broadcast, it has been decided it is the right time for him to immediately step down. During the broadcast, he made divisive remarks that do not represent our values or what we stand for. Don is synonymous with hockey and has played an integral role in growing the game over the past 40 years. We would like to thank Don for his contributions to hockey and sports broadcasting in Canada. Well, sure, it's nice that they give him a little thank you for his service as they shut and lock the door behind him. Let's not mince words about it. Don Cherry was, in his own words, in an interview with Joe Warmington of the Toronto Sun, forced out because he wouldn't relent and wouldn't give in on comments he made about poppies and encouraging all people in Canada to wear them to honor veterans. But I want to talk about this from a free speech perspective, because the point that I put out on Twitter is that this is, in fact, another casualty of the war on free speech, the war that is being waged by the left and really occurring because of political correctness. And people responded to say, oh, well, it's not about free speech because he still has the right to say what he wants to say. Yeah, let's explain this, because free speech is not just about freedom from government censorship. I want to show you a clip from Drex, who's an overnight host on Chorus Radio, and he took aim at what I had said on Twitter and also ended up making this comment on his radio show.
This has nothing to do with free speech. No one has taken away Don Cherry's free speech. While you're working for a company, if the company doesn't like what you've said, if it doesn't jive with what they want, they're fully within their rights to get rid of you.
So let me be the first to say that I agree with Drex wholeheartedly that a company has the right to decide if someone is not on brand, that a company has the right to decide if it doesn't want someone on its airwaves. Nobody has the right to a specific platform. This is undeniable, and all of these people saying, well, it's not free speech because Rogers has the right to fire him, are missing the point. Free speech exists in two separate ways. There is the right to not be thrown in a gulag for offending the Politburo, for speaking out against the government. The constitutional right to free speech, which is sacred and paramount. There's also the cultural free speech value, which is the idea that you should be able to speak your mind without people saying no, without people saying that you don't have the right to your opinion, without people saying you should be fired, you should be destroyed, you should be canceled, as it's so often known in the current cancel culture era in which we live. Don Cherry's situation doesn't fall in the first column. Of course he has the right to start a podcast, to go and speak on a sidewalk somewhere. He has the right to say his words and has not been censored by the government. Rogers, while it has the right to fire him, is still capitulating to a cultural value that is really dominated by resistance to free speech, and that is cancel culture. Rogers has done what is expedient. They don't want to deal with the social media mob, no one does, so they get rid of Don Cherry, despite the glowing words they made in their own statement being true. How much he has given to hockey and given to the Hockey Night in Canada brand over the last four decades. The reality is that the people who are cheering that Don Cherry has been fired fundamentally reject the idea of free speech. They fundamentally reject the idea that we can discuss our differences. They fundamentally reject the idea that someone making an opinion about poppies is unworthy of firing. This is the battle that we're seeing waged right now, and anyone who says that Don Cherry's termination is not about free speech hasn't been paying attention. You don't need the power of the state to censor if society has basically made cancel culture the gospel and dogma that funds all industry. No one can exist in media unless they view the world in the narrow way that the cancelers view the world. No one can go into politics if they don't hew to exactly what the progressive orthodoxy is on any issue. That's the culture. In fact, this is far advanced beyond state-mandated censorship, because state-mandated censorship, at least there's a constitutional amendment to fight against. Now, the remedy of this is not statutorily mandating Don Cherry on the air, although, quite frankly, we've got tens of thousands of signatures on the True North petition indicating people very much are standing with him in Canada. No, what we need to do to fight back against this is to push back against the culture. It's never been more important to say, I stand with Don Cherry. It's never been more important to stand up for people who lose their jobs and their livelihoods and face cancellation because they dared to say something that the elites in the mainstream media didn't want to hear. This isn't about whether Don Cherry made a mistake or not. It's not about whether you agree with what Don Cherry said or not. It's not about whether you like Don Cherry or not. If you cheer for anyone's termination, done only because the company that hired them needed to capitulate to the mob, you are fueling a culture that, mark my words, will eventually come back for you. If cancel culture reigns supreme, no one, and I mean no one, escapes unscathed. True North is standing up for Don Cherry. True North is also standing up for free speech. We know the mainstream media isn't going to. If you can help us out in this battle, please do head on over to tnc.news and make a contribution or join my Heritage Club. For True North, I'm Andrew Lawton.
Oh, well, that was a very powerful broadcast and right on the money. while I'm still commenting on this, I've got to say that one of the radio commentators I heard in a discussion on Monday night really shocked me. I want to share one of the stories that he told. And he was talking about how hockey and times have changed. What he said was this: well, hockey has changed. He said he had accompanied his son, who I think he said was 7 years old, to a hockey game recently, and the hockey game had to be stopped because I think it was his son's team had scored two goals fairly quickly on the opposition team, and the opposition goalie stormed off the ice and wanted to go home. So they had, it took them 15 minutes to find another goalie to suit up and continue the game. I thought, well, wait a sec. What are you telling us here? That the kid who was the goalie was so unhappy because the opposition team had scored two goals on him that he quit, or I mean, need to go home. He need to have a cry. Now, I have to say that that this is shameful. When I was small, I played hockey. I was not very good. It was not a sport I would go on to be involved in for very long. But I played hockey, and one of the things you learn, in fact, that's one of the reasons people say sports are a good learning experience. One of the things you learn is you learn that how to lose. I'm not going to argue with people who would say that the only thing about sports is winning. Yes, it's important to try to win. Yes, it's important to give your all and all those good things. But from the coach's handbook. But basically, you learn about winning and losing. You learn about cooperation and playing for the team and so on. There are a lot of good lessons that can be learned from sports. One of the lessons, and this is where a coach plays a role, and parents too, is that sometimes you lose, and it's no fun. It's winning is always much more fun than losing. Okay, granted all that, but sometimes you lose. Well, that's part of life, and the thought, the idea that this would in any way be tolerated. Now, again, at the risk of sounding like it, well, when I was a boy, but when I was a boy, the coach, your parents would have been all over you. I mean, this is the little boy, and this, quite frankly, I think is utterly snowflake behavior. And actually, when I heard the commentator recount this as if this was something that was to be applauded, or well, that's just the way things are today. I thought, this is what happens with some of the children of snowflakes. That this ought to have been, as we used to say in the teaching racket, a teachable moment. Here's an opportunity to say, okay, look, things are bad. Sometimes you're going to get creamed. We all know this, those of you who follow major league sports, whatever it is. There are times that there's a blowout game. The other side just runs away with the game. I think early on with the time of the Toronto Blue Jays, in one of the early seasons when they were doing very, very poorly, nonetheless, they had one particular great game against Baltimore that they won by, I think, something like 17-4 or something. There are times like that. And teaching young people to be able to win and to lose is really vital. Anyway, there's been some very good commentary, and I particularly liked it. Lawton's comment there that this is fundamentally about freedom of speech, and there are people, much of the cultural Marxist elite here that are really cheering what happened to Don Cherry. The end of an era, to put it in terms that they don't quite use these terms. This is a great blow against old star Canada. They like this. This is they like this attack on what represents for many people old star Canada, the founding settler people. Hockey is very much the sport of traditional Canadians. No, I'm not saying they don't follow other sports. I'm not saying even the new immigrants, especially European immigrants, also like hockey. But it is part of our old cultural tradition. And the multiculties don't like that much. They're no great fans of our culture. Never have been. Anyway, this is a comment by Jerry T. Neal. A nickname for Don Cherry was Grapes. Grapes, you're an inspiration to us all. It was greatly to my disgust that I learned yesterday that Sportsnet had fired the legendary Canadian institution Don Cherry over remarks he made on Coach's Corner this past weekend. Here's what he said on Saturday. You know, I was talking to a veteran. I said, I'm not going to run the poppy thing anymore because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga. Very few people wear a poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it. Downtown Toronto, nobody wears a poppy. He says, wait a minute, how about running it for the people that buy them? Now you go to the small cities, the rows on rows, you love people. That comes here, whatever it is. You love our way of life, you love our milk and honey. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for a poppy. These guys paid for your way of life, the life you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people and good Canadians that bought a poppy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It needs to be said. And kudos to Grapes, or that's Don Cherry, for saying it. Of course, the lily-livered whiners, the woke snowflake mob, got all triggered by the words, you people, and started throwing conniptions. See the opening scenes of the 2000 Farrelly Brothers film, Me, Myself, and Irene, starring Jim Carrey and Renee Zellweger, for hilarious satire of those who read all sorts of ridiculous things into just this phrase. For a day and a half, these modern-day Salomes were all over the social media demanding that Don Cherry's head be given to them on a platter. Corrupt mainstream media outlets such as the CBC, which for decades carried Hockey Night in Canada, in which Coach's Corner was featured, provided them an additional platform to make these demands. Finally, on Remembrance Day, and this is so bitter and ironical, sniveling cowards, scoundrels at Sportsnet issued a statement about how Don Cherry's patriotic call to respect and honor our veterans was divisive remarks that do not represent our values or what we stand for, and so he would no longer be appearing on the program. Now, an aside here from this excellent commentary by Jerry T. Neal. This is another accusation you hear a good deal. We don't like that because they're divisive, these remarks. And when you think about it, well, what does that mean? Well, divisive means some people will like them and some will not. If I were to go into, let's say, New York City, and I were to say, yay, Toronto Blue Jays, as opposed to the New York Yankees, those remarks might be divisive. How so? Well, some people might take exception to them. All right, so what? And that ought to be the response. So what? When you think about it, anytime you say anything to which somebody might object, it's divisive. For instance, when our Prime Minister announces that you cannot be an elected member of the Liberal Party, or sorry, you cannot run for the Federal Liberal Party unless you're 110% for abortion, for
the absolute untrammeled right of a woman to snuff out her child right until it pops its head out of the womb. Oh, I'd say remarks like that are divisive. What about the very large number of people who are right to life, or who at least have some hesitancy about abortion and think that there should be some regulation thereof? You see, the accusation of being divisive only goes one way. It's an accusation meant to silence people. Somehow, that's bad. What you've said may offend somebody. Yeah, man, probably it does. But so what? Anyway, back to Jerry Neal. In an interview with Joe Warmington, Cherry said this was not a problem, and that I know what I said and I meant it. Everybody in Canada should wear a poppy to honor our fallen soldiers. That's what he meant. And Jerry T. Neal says, amen. This is exactly how everybody ought to respond when some politically correct mob takes offense at his words and calls them racist, sexist, or some other of the growing list of ists and phobics. If there were more of these refusals to grovel and apologize, there would be a lot less of these politically correct mobs. Don Cherry is an inspiration to all of us who are sick and tired of wokeness, political correctness, cancel culture, and all the rest of this nonsense. Let us follow his example. I think what Jerry is saying here, and I like it on both levels, is back Don Cherry, speak up, and we've got to fight against this very, very pernicious cancel culture. If you are on the right and you say something, or if you're a traditionalist, let's say, or a populist, and you say something that the cultural Marxists don't like, then you should be deplatformed, fired, or whatever. We have to fight back against this. And I think we should denounce with utter contempt those cowards in corporate Canada who joined the lynch mob. All of Eastern North America right now is in a deep freeze. Right now, I mean November the 12th. In the city I live in, Hamilton, we recorded the heaviest snowfall for this date. Actually, that was yesterday, since records were kept over 100, almost 200 years ago. That's right. Heaviest snowfall. We have about 6 inches. And the coldest temperature. Tonight, it was about 14 degrees Fahrenheit, or minus 9.5 centigrade when I came into my little studio here at about 11 o'clock. Those are the coldest temperatures recorded in this city in over 200 years. Let me get this straight. What was this about global warming? And here's a commentary. I love this. Dr. James Sanchez says, massive snowfalls, loss of half the U.S. corn crop, sea ice, terrible storms. How dare you? That's of course, Greta Thunberg. You know, we've got to make the other side, the cultural Marxists, the environmental crazies, responsible for what they say. You know, you've put out these doomsday scenarios. Well, they just aren't true. Tyler Durden writes, experts are warning us that this will be a freezing, frigid, and frosty winter. And even though the official beginning of winter is still over a month away, that's of course December 21st, it already feels like that in much of the country right now. Over the next several days, it will literally feel like it's mid-January in much of the central and eastern portions of the United States, and Canada for that matter too. Many areas will be hit by temperatures that are 30 degrees below normal, and heavy snow is expected in some areas of the Midwest. Unfortunately, this bitterly cold weather is coming at a very bad time for corn farmers. According to the latest USDA crop progress report, only 52% of the corn in the middle of the country has been harvested.
So about half of the corn is still sitting out there, and these extraordinarily low temperatures could potentially be absolutely devastating. In essence, this cold front threatens to put an exclamation point on an absolutely horrific year for U.S. farmers. According to the National Weather Service, we could possibly see 170 potential daily record cold high temperatures over the next 3 days. We are being told that the low temperatures in certain portions of Texas could plunge into the teens, and all across the upper Midwest, we could see low temperatures that are well below zero, and more along the same lines. The time has come to nail people like Greta Thunberg. How dare you? With this, you know, you're the ones who nattered on about global warming, and global warming, of course, being caused by man. Well, where's the global warming now? You know, we shouldn't always be nice guys. I mean, we should hold these people responsible for some of their nonsense. Well, let's play a spirited guy who brought the country and western sound of California to Nashville, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. Kind of a change of pace. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fuzzy Side of Me.
Singing.
night, I know the days are coming. Life's gonna live here again. Life's gonna live here. Life's gonna live here. Life's gonna live here again. No more loneliness, only happiness. Life's gonna live here again.
Thank you.
got a tiger's bobtail that's plain to see.
Inside of me, back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. And this one's for Don Cherry.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, would the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Nation now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the Maple Leaf.